Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Michael, welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Philippians, the New Testament book of Philippians, Paul's letter, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And I'll be starting around verse 13 of this passage. I'm going to be talking about this subject, the desire of the perfect. The desire of the perfect. Now, that may sound like a strange title. And you might wonder, well, what in the world are we talking about? Who are the perfect? Because we all would look at ourselves and say, well, now, I may claim to be a Christian or a believer, but I'm not perfect. But here in this passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about true believers, sinners saved by the grace of God, pressing forward, persevering in the faith by the grace of God, and looking unto glory, that is, the final end of all things. He says in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark." I'm pressing. That means I am persevering. I'm fighting. And of course, what he's talking about is the warfare of a Christian, a true believer, a sinner saved by grace, who is fighting the warfare of the flesh, of the spirit against the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 speaks of that. Romans chapter 7 speaks of it. We are literally, if we're believers, if we know Christ, and we're submitted to His way of salvation, His blood, for the forgiveness of all my sins, His righteousness, for my only way of justification, that's His righteousness imputed to me. And if God has given me life in the new birth, and has brought me to faith in Christ, and repentance of dead works, then I'm in a struggle, and it's a continual struggle. It's an everyday struggle. It is a warfare of the Holy Spirit who resides within me, along with my spirit, the spirit that God has given me, created in me, the spiritual life. It's a warfare between the spirit and the flesh being the remaining powers and principles of sin that reside within my mind. Every believer has to deal with that. And the only way we can claim victory is by looking to Christ, who conquered sin by His death on the cross. And so we're in a fight, a warfare. And somebody asked me one time, said, "Well, when does it let up?" It lets up when we die. That's when it's over, that warfare within. Because then the flesh is dead, and we are made sinlessly perfect in ourselves, and we go to be with the Lord. But there's also warfare with Satan. Satan, who accuses God's people day and night, who tries to tempt. It's also a warfare against the world, the things of this world that are appealing to the flesh. And so it is a warfare. And so what he's saying is here in verse 14, I press. My energies are involved in pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that high calling is to follow Christ unto glory. That's perseverance of the faith. And that's what every true believer does. Now, there are times we press harder than others. There are times where we lose sight of the things of God and stray away. But God will not let us go. You know, there are denominations who call themselves Christians who say you can be lost one day, or you can be saved one day, rather, and then you can be lost if you don't keep on doing what you're supposed to do. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that a true Christian is one who presses on. And he or she will not let go. And the main reason for that is that God will not let them go. He will not let us go. That's what the scripture says in John chapter 27 when Christ said, I know my sheep. They follow me. I know them by name and they know me. And he said, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. He'll keep us to the end, the scripture says. And the evidence of our being kept is this pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God has given every one of his children in the new birth, in bringing them alive by new birth, by the Spirit, he's given them a desire to be like Christ. That's a high calling. I want to be a loving person. But I don't want to fall short. I want to be as loving as Christ is loving. I always fall short while I'm here on this earth because of the warfare within, the remaining presence, contamination, and influences of sin, self-love. What keeps me from loving you perfectly? I'll tell you what keeps me from doing it. My own self-love. My own selfishness. I want to be an obedient servant of God. You know, Paul said in Romans 7, there beginning at verse 14 and on to the end of the chapter, he was making the case that I want to do good. Now, he's not talking about goodness as man measures it. But he says, I want to do good, but I can't. What good is it that you can't do? Good in the standard that God measures goodness. Perfection. And Paul said, because of the flesh within me, it keeps me from doing that which I desire. And so there's a warfare. Okay? Now, again, and I want to emphasize this. The salvation and final glory of a believer is not conditioned on their pressing forward. They're fighting this. That's not a condition we must meet in order to attain or maintain salvation unto glory. The one condition for all salvation, past, present, future, is the blood of Christ. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews tells us there in verse 1 that we are surrounded by so many able witnesses, and he's talking about the Old Testament believers there, that were listed in Hebrews 11. And he said that, and he talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And what is it? That's doubt and fears. That's what he's talking about. He said, let us run the race. What race? The race of grace, this pressing toward the mark. That's the race. And how do we run it? Well, we run it looking unto Jesus, the author, and here's the key, and the finisher of our faith, the beginner and the completer of our faith. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that, listen to this, he is able. He is able to bring to its fruition. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep, to preserve that which I have committed unto him. And if you're a believer, what have you committed to Christ? Your whole salvation, even unto final glory. Now this pressing toward the mark in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. the pressing toward, the fighting the warfare, the seeking to be conformed to Christ. That's all evidence, not cause, but effect. Evidence, fruit, the result of God's grace in salvation and in our preservation. So understand that. Don't get the cart before the horse. Don't think that if you're a true believer, somebody said, well, if you get caught in some big sin, you lose your salvation. If that's true, then we're all gone. There's no hope for any of us. So here's what Paul writes in verse 15. Now this is where I got the title of the message from. Or verse 15, he says, let us therefore. Now the therefore says that what he's about to say is based upon what he has said before. As one old preacher said, if you see a therefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. And so he says, because we have been brought by God into a salvation free and clear, full and free. Salvation full and free. How are we sing about that? By His grace, not based upon our works, not even based upon our persevering, our continuing, but based upon the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, freely imputed, charged to me, and given to me, and which God has given me faith to receive Christ. Even the faith that I have, the repentance, the perseverance, those are gifts from God. They're not, none of them are based on our goodness or our efforts. It's all Christ. You understand that, okay? So therefore, and somebody might argue and they say, well, if that's the truth, then it doesn't matter what I do. No, there's a therefore here. Look at verse 15. Let us, that's believers, sinners saved by grace, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Paul, what is he saying here? He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, back in verse 13. But this one thing I do, forget what's behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before. What's before me? Well, I know what's before me. Death, judgment, eternity. Now, how am I going to live my life in light of what's before me? Death, judgment, eternity. All right. Final glory. That's what's before me. And so I'll be there by the grace of God. Not because of what I do or don't do. Not because of any works that I do. Not because of my determination. But because of what Christ did. And somebody says, well, then let's just quit and go do what we want to do. Live like the world. Eat, drink, and be... No. He says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I'll press forward. Press toward the mark. The mark of Christ. The prize of glory. Being like Christ. Living with Him forever. And he says, the high calling of Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, think like this. Be thus minded. If you're a person who uses the grace of God as an excuse to sin or as an excuse to not press forward, not seek to be conformed to Christ, then you're not thinking right. You're not thinking biblically. And that's the issue. And he says, now who is this? Who's he talking about? As many as be perfect, be thus minded. And he says in verse 15, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, if you're not thinking right in these areas, and you may not be a true believer. But if you're not thinking in these right in these areas and you are a true believer, you know what's going to happen? God will reveal this to you through His Word. Just like I'm preaching to you right now. If you're not thinking right, if you know Christ, if you know the grace of God, If you know the freeness, remember in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, he talks about those who have the Spirit of God, that they might know what is freely given. You know, I know what's freely given to me. You know what in salvation? Everything. Unconditionally. Based on the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. I didn't contribute one degree or one element of merit to where God was obligated to me. I haven't earned it, and I don't deserve it. And let me tell you something. When I draw my last breath in this life on earth, I will still have to say I don't deserve these gifts of salvation, these blessings of grace, eternal life and glory. I don't deserve it, and I don't earn it. I didn't earn it. It's all Christ. And let me tell you something else. When I stand before God at the judgment, what am I going to plead? Well, Lord, I preached in your name for over 30 years. Is that my ground of salvation? Is that my ticket to inner glory? Absolutely not. And if I were to say that, I'd be no different than the false preachers in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, to whom Christ said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." What I'm saying, folks, is this. I want to be a moral person. I want to be a sincere, dedicated person. I want to be a good person. I want to be a responsible, good, truthful preacher of the gospel, brother in Christ. I want to be a great husband to my wife, a father to my children, a grandfather. If you're working a job, you want to be a good employee. If you're a boss, you want to be a good... I want to be all those things. But here's the point. None of those things make up or contribute to my righteousness in which I stand before God in Christ. It's all Him. That's what I'm saying. Now, would that give me an excuse not to be a good person, not to try to be a good person? No. If you think that, you're not thinking right. And that's why he says, be thus minded. So he says, and if you're a believer now, if the grace of God has given you a new heart, a new mind, if you think otherwise, God's going to reveal it to you like he's doing right now in the preaching of the gospel. Now, let's get back to this verse 15, though. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. Well, what's he talking about? Well, you know, when most people use the word perfect today in the realm of religion, what they normally mean is they're talking about moral perfection. Or you might say sinless perfection. And none of us, not even the best of us, can say that we're sinlessly perfect, listen to this, in ourselves. In myself, I'm a sinner. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. That's my story. To God be the glory. And again, when I draw my with all my efforts to do right, to be right, when I draw my last breath, I will still be only a sinner saved by grace. And I didn't mention this before, but you know, even in glory, even though when we will be perfect in ourselves, we'll still sing the song of the redeemed, "Worthy is the Lamb, Christ, who was slain." You see that? It's all about Him. Well, what does Paul mean when he says, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect"? Well, the word perfect here is not referring to any moral perfection within the sinner, because he'd already said, back in verse 11, or verse 12, "not as though I had already attained." And what he's talking about is attaining final glory, in which we who believe will be perfect, morally perfect, sinlessly perfect in ourselves, because we'll be changed. in the twinkling of an eye. And there'll be no more sin. But he says, I've not already attained that. Now, Paul is not speaking as if this is something that he can attain by his works. But he said, listen, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm kept by the grace of God. I will enter glory by the grace of God. All right? But I'm not there yet. I'm still in this flesh, in this body, this, not talking about sinful flesh, but this human body, and I still do have the flesh, the sinful principles that contaminate and influence everything I think, say, and do. I'm still in a warfare. So what is this perfection that he's talking about? Well, the word perfect here doesn't mean sinlessly perfect in ourselves. What it means is, let me read it this way. Let us therefore as many as be complete. Complete. And what he's talking about is the completion, the perfection that all true believers can enjoy and claim as they stand in Christ legally. That means I'm complete. That means everything that God requires of me completely is fulfilled completely, fully, finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me give you some parallel verses. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 says this. It says, in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness, completeness of the Godhead bodily. Now that means in Christ, in the person of Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, who is the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of His people. In Christ, that person who did a complete work on the cross, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Father, Son, and Spirit, the glory of the Godhead. And verse 10 says, and you are complete in Him. And so we look at passages like that, and it's just, it's amazing. Amazing grace. My completeness is in Christ. And the in that passage in Colossians 2, it says, you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ being the head of all principality and power. Everything that God requires to save me. Now, this is what Christianity is about. This is what grace is about. Everything that God requires of me to be saved, to be kept, preserved, and to be glorified is found complete and perfect and finished in the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died on the cross, He didn't do an incomplete work. When God promises to save sinners, it's not an empty promise or an unfulfilled desire. Preachers say God wants to save you, but He can't unless you let Him. That's a lie. God said, all that the Father cometh, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But I'll raise him up at the last day. This is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that I should lose nothing, Christ said. All of His people, all of His chosen people, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, whose sins were charged to Christ, imputed to Christ, whose righteousness, Christ's righteousness was imputed to them, a complete righteousness, a complete forgiveness. All whom Christ redeemed on the cross, a complete redemption. He said in John 19:30, it is finished. It's complete. All whom God has brought to faith in Christ, the complete Christ, who finished the work completely, they shall be saved. They're complete in Him. They've not attained final glory in themselves. They've not attained sinless perfection in themselves, but they're complete in Christ. God cannot charge them with their sins. He cannot lay their sins to their account. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified, and He justified completely. What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins completely. It's to be righteous completely in the sight of God, based on Christ's righteousness imputed to me. And what's the basis of it? Romans 8:34 says, who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Hebrews 10 and verse 14, listen to this. It says, for by one offering, He, Christ, hath perfected, completed, finished, fulfilled. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who are the sanctified? Those whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ. Those whom Christ redeemed on the cross. That's who He died for, His sheep, His church. Not all without exception. How do you know that? Because the sanctification also involves the sanctification of the Spirit, which under the preaching of the gospel brings them to faith in Christ. Do you believe in Christ? This Christ now, not a counterfeit. Completely. He's finished the work. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law. That means the perfection and completion of the law to everyone for righteousness, complete righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that's who He's talking about. Those who are complete in Christ. That's the perfect. Now, I'll continue this next week because I have some other verses I want to show you. And we'll maybe finish out Philippians 3. But that's what it is, the desire of the perfect. He says, let us therefore as many as be perfect think like this. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.